January 4, 2023, it's a Lot from Pedro show.
I think the majority of musicians are interested in truth. You know, they've got to be, because a musical thing is a truth. If you make a statement, a musical statement, and it's a valid statement, that's the truth right there in itself, you know. And if you play something phony, well, you know that's phony, you know. And all musicians are striving to as near perfection as they can get. Mm-hmm. And that's truth there, you know. And so in order to play those kind of things, play truth, you've got to live with as much truth as you possibly can, you know.
Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to August Blum about Truth in Music on June 15, 1958. And then we had Jobs with Hardwood. Because of those software engineers in Estonia and their SCAP invention, I got with me Max Jaffe of Jobs. Welcome aboard, Brother Max.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to give Steve Bono credit for the most essential aiding and abetting with this connect. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Stevie.
Yeah, yeah. So, what I would like is for you to give me your... Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection, probably... sitting in the floor of my garage, like right in front of the kit, while my dad was playing to like a Santana record.
So, you had a drum kit. So you don't have a music memory before the drum kit?
You know, I think my earliest musical memories are different. They're all drum related. It's either sitting in front of the kit and like, yeah, just absorbing that crazy energy, or... like, yeah, standing in the kitchen, you know, not even as tall as the kitchen cupboards, and like drumming some beat on my like chest and thigh, which still might catch me doing in the kitchen now.
Well, let me ask you this. Was the drum set there before you were born?
It was, yeah. So
your pop's a drummer, man.
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
He played enough to like get me into it, and just, yeah, set me on my path. I mean, he was like an entrepreneur, businessman guy by day, but would come home and completely transform the garage, you know? And that got me hooked.
Was he a drummer man as a kid too?
Yeah. And, you know, he'd play with bands with his friends and, you know, they played like proms and stuff like that. He never really like took it that seriously, but actually it's funny. Like I ended up spending the majority of my 20s, like doing tours that were, just very bare bones, very DIY. And he actually, when he was in his 20s, was like a carny in New Jersey. And, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, is I just kind of like doing my version of that?
Like, yeah, right. Like vaudeville or something. I feel myself in that. I don't think it's a bad tradition to come from working the room, you know, because there used to be a time when people couldn't sit in one place like Walter Becker and Donald Fagen and make records, and they just went out. People actually had to go towns. Because the people working all day and there's no theaters yet or radio or television.
So right.
That's the way I see it. Now, I think it's honest wage for honest work. Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, man. I mean, probably like...
Remember, it's a Juan from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
I mean, the first cassette tape that I bought was, like, Hanson.
Yeah, I mean, the medium isn't important. What's important is, like, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm curious about
how
you first spend it. Yeah.
I remember, so this then maybe doesn't answer your question, but those, like, Columbia Record House things.
That's what I did for a dime. I got 10 8-tracks for a dime.
I was spending a bunch of my own money, though. I tried a lot of things that way with a minimal investment, you know.
What they would do is, honestly,
it was probably Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like,
you know what they would do is...
That show was ubiquitous.
What they would do is send you one every month, and if you didn't send it back, you had to buy it. That's where I remember the Columbia House. We're talking the early 70s. so what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
You know, at school, like, it wasn't until middle school, I guess. Like, elementary school, there wasn't really much of that. I played some drum. You know, I was lucky that I had, like, a little head start at home. And actually, there were some other kids on the block that played a little bit of guitar and keyboard. So I had a little garage band going called Blind
Mix.
Like fourth grade.
Understandable. I was going to ask you about that too, Max, but I ask about the school thing because a lot of schools, like you mentioned, Chili Peppers there. Flea started that Silver Lake Music Conservatory because when he went back to Fairfax High, where he played trumpet, he found out they got rid of the music program.
Oh, no way.
Peachy way.
That's horrible.
No, but that's why he started that music thing. He couldn't believe.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I always ask that question about school, because it's not like it's that critical, but maybe it is critical. I think the arts are needed. Anyway, what was the first
thing? I do have a friend who, his exposure to band instruments, he didn't have music at home. So I have actually a few friends where there it was primarily through school that they got exposed and have made a career out of it. So I've had it also at home for that added, or not even, the school really was like the added reinforcement. The home was like the core of the musical, like, development. But yeah, I mean, I was pretty lucky when I was like in middle school and high school. There were a lot of other kids to play with outside of jazz band and outside of marching band and all that stuff. So we were doing our own little shows at the rec center. And
here's the question I usually ask. I say, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, basement band, bedroom band, garage band. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, and it's usually at the fucking drummy's house, so you don't have to always put together and tear down.
Yes, thanks to my mom for...
Yeah, and you tolerance, right? And what was the first live gig you saw?
First live gig I saw was Dave Matthews Band at the Cow Palace.
Yeah.
In like 1994 or something.
All right.
In 95, I was really young. I mean, I was just like, I think that honestly, the drumming thing, I was like so, just like, I was such a drum nerd early on that I dragged my family to a Dave Matthews Band concert when I was like 7 or 8 years old.
My first gig wasn't until like 14. Me and D Boone saw T Rex. His daddy took us.
That is cool. See, I mean, that's a cool show.
It was 1973.
I could have, yeah.
A little while ago.
And, you know, maybe there was something cool about Dave Matthews Band at the Cow Palace in the 90s, but...
One thing I know,
he's the same.
He's originally from Virginia, and that's where I was born. I know that.
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah.
There you go. I do remember he said... The Cow Palace, the only venue you can shit on the floor.
Well, if you want to know a drum,
big impact on me.
Well, you know, it, for county fairs and shit, the cows are
exactly,
shit.
Yeah,
they're taking dumps.
It literally was a Cow Palace.
That's why they have all that fucking jasmine to cover up the turd smell and shit. But I'll tell you a funny drum story about Cow Palace. That's where Keith Moon passed out, and they got some cat from the audience to take his place.
Oh, that's the venue. Wow.
That's the venue.
I knew it was in San Francisco, actually, but I didn't know it was Cow Palace.
Actually, Cow Palace is like by the airport, pretty south.
Right, right, right. But yeah, they'd call it San Francisco on a tour poster.
Right. Yeah, because you don't want to, I mean, Daly City is closer to a city. Okay, but anyway, you gave me this music here, Pink, from More Jobs.
She brings to the land. Thank you. Bang door number two.
Oh, hear our sound,
Finally, in the dead, hampered hours, finally, finally,
It's like deja vu all over again, at least for Max people. We started a chunk of music off with Jobs doing Pink. Then we had Dykeman, Gonzalez, Hacker, Flatten, and Horn doing something brand new. This is a new proj they got together. Pooh Airs, Gaz, Dykeman. I can't remember the name of the album, but it's something funny. I think they're doing it in Austin. A Puppet Midnight with an interlude of Nice Cup of Tea with Biscuit on the side. I don't know, you gotta have balls like church bells to fucking style your song that. Cod O'Donnell on that. Thank you, Howie Reed, for the turn on to Brother Cod. And hey, Ma, I'm on TV. And I don't know why I put the whole fucking thing in parentheses, but why not? You can't copyright a title anyway, right? Shovel Dance Collective with part four. I played three of the parts. There's the fourth part, people. Trippy fucking music, huh? And then finally, Jobs with Recent Requirements. Okay. So this band you have after school, in the afternoon time, is it a practice band or do you do gigs? Does it have a name? Do you write your own material?
It has a name. Yeah, it was called Dead Letter. It was really very heavily indebted to the post-hardcore thing that was very popular, like 2001, 2003, that time. Our first show was like at the rec center in our town, and like it was like September 2001. Honestly, like it was like right.
No, how'd the gig go? How'd the Dead Letter first gig go? Cherry gig.
I remember being, I do actually. I haven't thought about that in so long because we did have a lot of good gigs, and my memory is mostly those. But the first one I remember feeling like. That we didn't play as well as we had played in the practice room at my mom's house. And that I think that, but the show was still fun. So there was like definitely a spark there to, we're all motivated to like keep getting better. And to, and that playing more shows was like its own, you get better at playing shows by just playing more shows.
That's right.
No matter how much time you like spend in the practice room.
Well, you got to practice, but the real practice in front of people, and that's probably what spooked you out, was you guys were in front of people instead of your mom's dad.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, of course the practice at home is essential, but it's a completely different thing when you've got an audience. Yeah. And there's, you can prep and prep and prep, but you need an audience again and again for those reps.
Right.
So, actually, like,
well, they what do you think? What do you think? What do you think, Max? What do you think? The gig goer's kind of become part of the gig, right? And you're missing that element in the practice.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And especially we're like kids, so our friends would, they'd be giving a lot of energy too, you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I mean, our shows.
Tell me about the material. Like, what was it? Did you guys write your own songs? Or did you play the
We did write our own songs. I had a cat on. It was pretty stylistically derivative.
But I had a cat on the show a couple, maybe it was last episode. He played the whole Sex Pistol album. And like, wow. In Spain, like a little town in Spain, they play the whole, yeah. Wow. So that's why I
mean,
asked
the very that. First, yeah, the first thing that I had that I played a show, like, we played a show, this band I had, we were just like a Green Day and Blink 182 cover band. And we played a show, this was like in middle school, and we played a show at the guitar player's house. And it got shut down by the cops, and our math teacher came.
Oh, no.
But she was really cool. She was a bass player and had a band that like played around in San Francisco.
Oh, bitching. Okay, so but Dead Letter, you said, does original material. How involved?
We did, yeah. We were.
No, here's a question I got, because I'm really concerned about this idea about drummers getting credit for composition.
Mm.
You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get credit for composition. Like, drummers can't write songs. What?
Mm.
I don't see that. Why isn't a drum set an instrument just like a voice or a bass?
Yeah, I mean.
So what I'm going to ask you, Max.
Ask Congress.
The biggest fucking mistake Minutemen ever made was putting George Hurley in the back. He should have been right up on the front of the stage. How involved with you? You said this band wrote original music. How involved with you in the songwriting?
Extremely. I felt like the core musical engine of that group was me and the guitar player singer, who really has we're still friends. He has an amazing ear and great musical gift. But like just kind of could be kind of like lazy. So like my job was kind of like, yeah, definitely more arranging, orchestrating, and adding, you know, my taste also is always more experimental than my friend's. So his taste is definitely way more just pop straight up. And I was trying to bring in things that were a little more interesting. And, you know, I could play a fair amount at that time on drums. So I wanted to do stuff in different time signatures or, you know, all this kind of stuff. I was also just learning and wanting to apply as quickly as I could.
Well, what about after high school? Did you go to higher education music?
Not at first, actually. I went to like a big UC. I went to UC Santa Barbara.
Sure, party school.
The best. Yeah, party school. Honestly, the second year I was there, Playboy magazine like came and did like a signing at the local like keg and bottle shop. It was like, I think I'm in the wrong place.
Right.
It was, you know, when I was 18, 19, I didn't really think I wanted to go to New York, but I knew that I wanted to be like in a big city and that I wanted to be, you know, reasonably far from home, that San Francisco is not the city. And so at first I thought I wanted to be in LA, which I ultimately am now. But I got really into jazz at the end of high school and improvising and improvised music. And a lot of the music that I was into just seemed to be coming out of New York. And then I wasn't really hip to the whole like college, like, you know, jazz school thing. Or even in high school, you know, there were like jazz camps and all this stuff. I was going to like a rock music camp. But ultimately, when I got into jazz, then I was like, oh, there's this whole educational side of things. You can actually go to school for this, get a degree in this. And it's in New York. So I didn't really, I was like, oh, I can like live in New York City and like get a college degree. And like my parents are going to like fund this experience. Like, okay, like this seems like all, you know, if I just practice more. Because actually, so I applied to the new school and didn't get in initially. And so I got a teacher in Santa Barbara and just like started practicing 4 to 8 hours a day. And credit to New School too. They actually gave me, when they rejected me, they like gave me a list of things to work on. So I gave that list basically to a drum teacher and we got to work, and yeah, that work paid off because I got in the second time. So it was, yeah, it was just kind of like...
And this was a good teacher.
It was a good teacher, yeah.
No, Greg, because I've had cats on the show that had horrible fucking experiences with some teachers. Other people, beautiful, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, he... I was very, very externally motivated. I really wanted to, especially after getting rejected the first time, you know, he was a good teacher, but he didn't have to do a whole lot. Like, that was the first time I ever practiced, again, like 4 to 8 hours a day. I'd never really done that. I had played the records for, you know, an entire afternoon before, but never, like, working out of a book. Like, I'm working on my, like, left hand technique, this kind of, like, super focused way of learning an instrument. I never did it that way.
You want to hear a New York City, actually, drum corps, right? Because Billy Cobham was in the drum corps there, and I read this thing where they would practice holding quarters on the bulkhead, a wall, with paradiddles. And then they'd get down to dimes.
Oh, whoa.
And because of that shit, I heard when you look at Billy Cobham's drum hits, there's one dot in the middle, like there's no hits all around.
The guy is so fucking disciplined,
and the competition was so heavy. And I bring that up because George Hurley taught himself drums with only two records and a set of headphones. It was Who, My Generation, right, Keith Moon, and then Billy Cobham, Spectrum,
Quadrant.
Snoopy and the Red Baron. It's the most bizarre combination. But you know, at the end of the day, music
is
music.
That explains it, actually. Yeah, that explains the sound perfectly.
Yeah. And you know, all the paths are trippy and crazy, but they lead to here, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I know.
To where we are.
I mean,
now.
Yeah. Once I got to New York, then
let's continue,
like,
because
the jazz club thing. That's not my home either right now.
I have to cut you off because we're at the end of the first hour of the January 4th, 2023 edition of the WAP Pedro Show. Special guest Max Jaffe. Hold tight for hour two. January 4th, 2023. It's the second hour of the WAP Pedro Show.
touch it to me after you persist. Love me like you're mindless. It's out to my heart, only flesh that's in the way of me. Being out of timeless. One last caress when they found you silent, blue and pressed to start another life. Oh, won't you come along? Softness that sits on the surface of
take the ride. I'll need you by my side. I'm fine.
Devo Show. Started off the second hour with Gavin Gamboa. Might not be Portuguese. Urgent Daydream. Almighty Op with Pink and Paper Thin. Curse of Lano with Buy the Ticket, Take the Ride. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Anchorage, Alaska. Doing Tessellation Pie. Or maybe it's P. English is such a fucked up. You know, the pronunciation you cannot get from the spelling. You got to hear some other motherfucker say it, right? A spot after that, a chokehold farewell. Hopefully no farewell for Spassky, man. He's his lungs has got fibrosis, so he's and then he got some blood clot in his lung. He's in the hospital right now, breathing air, and but he's getting through it and stuff. But everybody think about Spot now. This guy recorded the first Minutemen record. You know, I go way back with this man. His daddy was Tuskegee Airman and shit. He's just a beautiful guy, and just send all the love you can to Brother Spot. Yeah. After that, Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard. You know, it's every other month, so there's a new album, right? This man, prolific, Forced to See, and that's a little pun right there, right? S-E-A, right? A little pun rock. You take the K out, it's pun rock. And then finally, Max Jaffe, the man himself. With FRWD, it might mean forward, but I don't know. I'm not going to assume. My pop thought the spelling of assume was so intense. I said, that's not an accident, boy. You make an ass out of you and me. Don't assume. Don't do it. Don't do it. Cardinal sin. Okay, let's get back to your journey. So you make it to New York City.
Yeah, I somehow made it to New York. The new school was like a really good launching pad for, you know, just arriving in a place that is so overwhelming and different, and you know, to immediately be in like a group of pretty like-minded young people is huge. I don't know if I ended up living there like 12 years. I don't know if I would have made it that long without that. And actually, a lot of relationship. I mean, jobs. We all met. At New School, Dave Scanlon, the guitarist, and I, we met like the first week we were in the same dorm. So it is one of those stories, I guess. And yeah, I mean, it was an interesting kind of time for that school too, it seems, because now it looks like they're, I mean, I don't know firsthand, of course, but it seems like they're more like jazz focused. When I was there, it was called the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music, and the and contemporary music part was really like what interests me more than all the other jazz programs, because that was my taste in music, was like, I like jazz and a lot of other stuff, and I wanted to be able to, you know, try to incorporate those things into what I was doing or have the opportunity to do that. And the strict conservatory thing didn't really appeal to me. So it seemed like they were attracting all kinds of people that thought the same way. So, it was a really important experience for me, even though, like, the classroom stuff was, you know, a lot of that material available everywhere, right? It's like, it's more who you're learning alongside the, a lot of these schools. I think, like, that's the best thing that they offer.
Well, you know, the Berklee School of Music in the Boston, right? And a lot of people tell me they go there for connects.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can practice like I did for 4 to 8 hours a day with a local teacher and, like, definitely make a lot of progress. But that leap to like, okay, now you're on like a career path. Just being around all those people, certainly that's what makes it possible. And like I said, I'm still doing work that's like involves people that I know from New School like 12, 14, 15 years ago, which is kind of crazy.
See, the lesson there, people, don't burn bridges. You never know.
Absolutely, yeah.
No stepping stone shit. That's over. You mean, what happens is life is a bunch of like reruns, and you're gonna run into these cats again, and you know what? Yeah,
no joke.
You know what I mean? I think it's kind of better ethics anyway. This scorch and burn shit, it's just some ego trip. People are people.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you get in some bands over there while you're doing your education?
Yeah, I got into some band. Like I said, Jobs kind of started there. We originally started as this, we were called Killer Bob, and we were kind of more like a jazzy guitar trio initially, and then, yeah, little by little, things are getting a little more angular and a little more just loud and heavy hitting and amplified, and we had saxophone, then eventually, two saxes, and then at one point we just said no saxes, and then it became like a guitar, the classic, just like guitar, bass, drums, and we're all singing, kind of lined up. And
power trio.
Exactly, yeah. And then, actually, an interesting thing kind of happened with the lineup and instrumentation there, where we had a situation where, like, we needed, like, a bass sub. And so for a while, like, Jessica Pabone, who's an amazing violist, improviser, composer, and bassist, but not really, like, known for her bass playing, wasn't really working as a bass player in other situations necessarily. She was just filling in because she was our friend, and then eventually when Rob, our bassist, was available, Rob Lundberg, then we all four of us were like, well, Jess should just play viola, her main axe. And so then that kind of became the lineup for like our most recent stuff, where now it's like this power trio plus viola, which is kind of almost more like this Velvet Underground kind of instrumentation.
Spassky
plays more just out of the relationships, not even seeking out viola as part of the sound.
Yeah, Spassky played but Celtic music, so he played on his arm and he called it Fedola. And the listeners out there, a viola is just a bigger violin. Not as big as a cello, not as big as a double bass, but it's bigger than a violin. I want to play this toast. More Jobs.
People. Inhabitants. Fuck your stutter. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show, that chunk of music started off with Jobs doing a toast. It's funny, you know, in Italy, right, when you toast chin chin, right? Well, in Japan, right, that's what you call cock. So watch out. Be careful what you ask for.
Make those up from Japan.
Okay. I just looked the other way. This is Shiverboard live at the House of Yarg in Philadelphia, September 24, 2022. Then Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Split Rivulet. Sarah Davachi with Harmonies in Bronze. Larry Bose with Secondhand Fan. Ray Shin out of Reno, I know that. I send you a subtext. And then finally, Max Jaffa again with Harmonic. What are these Max Jaffa songs like FRWD and Harmonic? Is that man alone?
Yeah, so say again.
Is that man alone, those proj? What tell me.
Yeah, that's the man alone. That's so forward, I guess is how I think of it when I look at the phone.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. That's why God invented vowels.
But you know, after a while I was like looking at it, it's like, oh, you know what? It also stands for fucking round with drums, which is kind of what I'm doing.
That's when it's in an acronym mode. But actually, yeah, you had it in an abbreviation mode.
So fucking round with drums. That's me with a lot of. So I use this thing called sensory percussion. I was like, been using it since very early on. I like bought it in their Kickstarter and have been a big supporter. I'm just trying to use it in all the situations that I can since I got my hands on it. And it basically, yeah, it just completely opens up like drum set electronics where I can, on the harmonic track, I can, you know, that's all sample based, but I'm controlling it all with the drum set. So I can, basically use it like as like a MPC kind of thing.
Like in the old days, sampler.
Or
in the old days, like Lionel Hampton on a Vibes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, We ran out of time again.
I'm sorry, Max. It's the end of the second hour of the January 420. We'll pick it up. Just a sec. 2023 Dish Watt Pedro Show special guest, Max Jaffe. Hold tight, fire three. January 4th, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Pedro show start off the third hour with Big Shapes, new proj, Crazy of the Portal, and then Crane from Northern Idaho, You to Pimp, Starseeds Calling, and finally Jobs again with Striped Cotton Blanket. But it's hard for Watt to say that because I want to say blanket, you know. Blank. Okay. So, I want to catch up on some of this right here. This cat, Gavin Gamboa, that piece. What was that about? Urgent.
Oh, man. Gavin is, I love Gavin so much. I call him my most genius friend. He is a brilliant like composer and electronic musician. I mean, he gives like concerts. He gives, you know, classical music concerts on piano, but then he also makes crazy techno. So he, every once in a while, has asked me for random lengths of time at random BPMs, where I'll just like kind of go, just play drums. Be like, here, give me 3 minutes and 35 seconds of 112 BPM, and I'll just play whatever I feel for that length of time. And we've kind of gone back and forth like this a few times over the years. Usually if I'm maybe doing a recording session for something else and I have a few extra minutes and a willing engineer, or during the pandemic, I started doing more at home, at home recordings, got really good at that, or, you know, as good as I could at that. And so that's some of that stuff where I just sent him, I don't even know how long, a couple minutes of me just improvising to a click. And then he processed it and I guess added some synth and also like looped it and made his own thing out of it. So we've had an ongoing kind of remote collaboration over the years. And when I was singing What to Send You, I definitely wanted to put a little something, showcase some of our work together, because he's a great friend and I'm really proud of some of the stuff that we've done together.
You know, I just finished the sixth biography on John Coltrane. And, you know, there's the thing about playing with drums, you don't have to worry about chord changes. This is why it gets with Rashid at the end there for interstellar bass and stuff.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry. You know what I mean? The guy's just, I mean, he's playing musical, but the notes are so short, you don't have to worry about, you know, whatever, a bad note, whatever the fuck that means, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I
want to run this by you too, Max. Are you aware of a cat named Cliff Martinez?
Say again?
You aware of a drummer man named Cliff Martinez?
I am. I only know of him because I think he was like a drummer in the Red Hot Chili Peppers again, like
But he was also on the last Captain Beefheart record, but he's gotten into making soundtracks. And I could see where a drummer, that would be right up his alley.
Yeah.
Cinematic kind of things. Check out his website.
Stuff that I always thought, like, you know, when I was thinking about coming out to LA, I was like, well, there's so much other musical work that would be interesting to me as well. You know, so many ways to just, make creative stuff and have a nice life. This is all.
Idea that the drummer man's got to be given orders and all this shit and just do his duty, it's kind of corny ass shit.
I can think of a few drumming film scores that are pretty good. Stuart Copeland does like film scores.
He does too? Okay. So I think Gavin asking you to bring those kind of things that he could work with, you know, there's kind of a tradition of that. You know, I'm reading about it with John Coltrane and
that's cool.
Elvin Jones, and you know, it was trippy. It was like McCoy and Jimmy would hold down, you know, the thing is fucking Elvin would get up there with John Coltrane. You know, we're trying to, when you got an ensemble going, you're just trying to make interesting conversation. Not just, but it's bitching. It's beautiful.
Right.
Look, here's another Max Jeff song called The Simp.
sais ce que c'est. Tout le monde sait ce que c'est. Tout le monde sait ce que c'est que la nature. Je sais ce que c'est que la nature. Tout le monde sait ce que c'est la nature. Moi-même, je sais ce que c'est que la nature. Je comprends la nature. Je comprends la nature. Je sens la nature. Je ressens la nature. Je sens la nature car je comprends la nature. La nature me ressent car je comprends la nature. La nature me ressent. La nature est Dieu. La nature me ressent. La nature est Dieu. La nature est Dieu. Je suis la nature. La nature est Dieu. Je suis la nature. La nature est Dieu. Je suis la nature. Je n'aime pas la nature inventée. Je n'aime pas la nature inventée. Ma nature est vivante. À moi. Ma nature est vivante. Je n'aime pas la nature inventée. Je suis la nature. La nature est Dieu. Je suis la nature. Ma nature est vivante. Je suis vivant. Je suis vivant. Ma nature est vivante. Je suis vivant. Ma nature est vivante. Je suis vivant. Je connais des gens qui ne comprennent pas la nature. Je suis vivant. Je connais des gens qui ne comprennent pas la nature. La nature est une chose superbe. Ma nature est superbe. La nature est la vie. Ma nature est superbe. La nature est la vie. La vie est la nature. Le singe est la nature, le singe est la vie, l'homme est la nature, le singe n'est pas la nature de l'homme, l'homme est la nature, le singe est la vie, l'homme est la nature, le singe n'est pas la nature de l'homme, je ne suis pas le singe de l'homme, je ne suis pas le singe en l'homme, je ne suis pas le singe de l'homme, je ne suis pas le singe en l'homme, le singe est Dieu dans la nature car il ressent les mouvements, le singe est Dieu dans la nature car il ressent les mouvements, je sens les mouvements, mes mouvements sont simples, les mouvements du singe sont compliqués, le singe est bête, je suis bête, le singe est bête, je suis bête, mais je suis doué de raison, je suis bête, mais je suis doué de raison, je suis bête, mais je suis doué de raison, je suis bête, mais je suis doué de raison, je suis un être doué de raison, et le singe n'est pas doué de raison, je crois que le singe descend de l'arbre et l'homme de Dieu, Dieu n'est pas le singe, l'homme est Dieu, et je suis Dieu, je suis un bouffon en Dieu, je veux dire que le bouffon est à sa place là où il y a de l'amour pour Dieu, un bouffon sans amour n'est pas Dieu, un bouffon sans amour n'est pas Dieu, nous sommes Dieu et vous êtes Dieu, nous sommes Dieu et vous êtes Dieu, nous sommes Dieu et vous êtes Dieu, je veux dire que Dieu est Dieu, et je suis Dieu, je suis un clown fou, j'aime les fous, je suis amour, je suis sang, j'aime les fous, je suis amour, je suis sang, je suis le sang du Christ, je t'aime, je suis le sang du Christ, je t'aime, je suis le sang du Christ, je t'aime, j'aime tous les hommes, je suis l'amour en toi, tu es l'amour en moi, je veux dire que l'amour est sang, je ne suis pas sang en toi, je suis sang en toi, je ne suis pas sang en toi, je suis sang en toi, l'amour est sang, je suis sang en toi, j'aime le sang, mais pas le sang dans le sang, j'aime le Christ, non, je ne suis pas le sang du Christ, je suis le Christ, je veux parler du sang, je veux aimer, je veux dire, je t'aime, mon Dieu.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're very discerning. Bravo. I read literature. But thank you. To the stage, Xavier Charles. That was at limited volume level, and I never saw it higher than 87, but I'm probably lying.
92.
Thanks so much, Jean.
That's okay. It's important for you, Sonia, Nicolas.
But next time we come, it'll be air guitar and air sax. And air djembe. Ooh, right, so.
Did you say air
djembe? Love your shells, everybody.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Thank you.
Class is 91.
Wofford Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Max Jaffe doing The Simp, and I learned that it's evolved, people. It doesn't mean idiot anymore. It's somebody with hankering. And then after that, we had Chausson, which is slippers, right, French? And I pronounced it wrong, pardon, fuck, asshole, what? With Xavier Charles, and this has got, like I said at the beginning of the show, Howie Reeve, live at the Cher de Poule in Paris, August 11, 2022. I got invited here, but my knee's fucked up. I can't do gigs for a while. And then finally, I think this is Patrick. Shiro Ishii? Yeah. God damn it. Muted. Fucking what? Idiot. Yeah, it says Shirayoshi. So Shirayoshi was on the show a couple months ago.
Oh, cool.
Same guy, yeah, saxophone man? Opinion. Okay, okay. And then the Harrington man, what's his first name?
Dave Harrington.
Dave. Oh, that's the guitar guy you were saying. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He's awesome. He's a friend from New York. And when I first moved out here, he was one of the first people I connected with and started playing together a lot more than in New York, actually. And, he's just, he's such a just like malleable kind of improviser that I just kind of had a feeling that me and him and Patrick were going to have a good connection. And so I the first time we played together was in the studio and made this record, and it's going to be coming out at some point this year soon.
Wow, I'd love to hear it because I love this piece.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about what you got going. For one thing, do you got your own website?
I do, yeah. MaxJaffeDrums.com.
Let's tell people. MaxJaffe.com, people.
Actually, MaxJaffeDrums.com.
Okay, so it's Max Jaffe Drums.
Yes.
I didn't hear that part, Max.
Yeah, Max Jaffe, there's another one out there who's like some weird financial advisor guy, and he got to that URL first.
I remember when playing this club in Guelph. I told somebody this a couple episodes ago.
Guelph,
college town in Ontario, yeah. Canada. And it was called Trashateria. And this cat, he says, I want you to meet somebody, Watt. I said, okay. They go, hey, Mike Watt, this is Mike Watt. It was the owner of the band. Yeah, ain't that a trip? Okay.
That's good.
I don't know if Trashateria is still around. This was many moons ago. So what do you got going besides this project with Pat and Steve? You still got jobs going, right?
Jobs are still going. We are we just kind of finished mixing. I've also kind of been learning how to mix my own music over the years.
I think that's great.
The pandemic really like made a lot of headway on that.
Yeah, I think that's great. More and more musicians are doing their own. There used to be a Grand Canyon between the recording guys and the player guys.
Right.
And I love it.
Yeah, and especially being a drummer, it's like, you know, I'm used to that sort of global kind of perspective on the music, and I think there's a lot of drummers that also become like engineers as well, a connection there.
Yeah, because they got to get the big picture.
Yeah, exactly. So it just has felt like a pretty, I noticed that I could lose track of time working on a mix, and so I took that to be a good sign, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Losing track of time on something, I was like, okay, do more of that.
Right, no. You know, at the end of the day, the listeners here and stuff, kinda, they don't know how it's made, right? Remember Frank Morgan in that Wizard of Oz movie, Pay No Attention to That Man Behind the Curtain? He was the dude behind the curtain. So you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Right. Sort of like, you know, you get your chow. You don't see what's going on in that kitchen. You're hoping it's safe.
And I love that, you know, even before I was on, like, knew that I could actually maybe make a career out of music, I wanted to be like a director growing up, which is a similar kind of like, I loved movies, still do, and just wanted to envision myself being involved, but not like in front of the camera. I didn't need that. I was more interested in how the show was made and being the person kind of like putting that together. And then through college, I realized like, oh, all the directors that I love, they're like as obsessed with film as I kind of am about music. And so maybe that's what I should be doing.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's so anyway, so other than this thing with Dave Harrington and Patrick Chiarisi, which I also mixed, finished mixing this Jobs record. We're going to get that master pretty soon and put it out this coming or this year.
Let me give you an invite right here. When that, the Jobs record come out, bring the band on. You could do the conference call with the Skype thing. And
oh, hell yeah. We would love to.
You into that? Okay.
Absolutely.
That would be beautiful. And I'm looking forward to...
I safely speak for the group when I say yes.
But I'm looking forward to all your music because it's very interesting. Please keep on keeping on, Max. And thanks for saving today's episode. People, it's been January 4th, 2023 edition of Watch for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.